Okay.
Who?
Everybody ready? Okay, what are we up to?
Sinai test, 7 days, 7 lines down at the 2 dots.
99.8. I'm off. That's okay. It's an easy mistake. So, it's, what does it say? Aim of Ashen Yanshal Truma. You can't cook wine of Truma. So, we saw because Nation Mamato, because it gets reduced. We remember we spoke out to Tratem Mamato because it goes down in volume based on the evaporation, or Mamato, it's Mamite, the number of people that will eat it. And it turns out those two Tratem are actually in the Yerushalmi itself. But we'll see in a second. Right, Rav Elazar, Rav Yochanan, they're having a machlokes. One says because it's reducing, it's evaporation, it reduces. That constitutes mamish destruction of truma. It's going to reduce the number of people who will drink it. It says here by adversely affecting the wine's taste. Number 8, the flavor of cooked wine is very strong. My personal experience with cooking wine is, it doesn't affect taste at all. So I don't know what this means. Maybe it doesn't affect the taste at all.
It doesn't.
Oh, I'm saying, I probably, when I tasted it, it was already cooked.
Given a choice of wine, you drink the Feinschmecker dry wine?
No, I don't drink wine.
So I don't appreciate
fine wines. It's true. Maybe fine wines that are cooked, maybe they change the taste. I wouldn't know.
My wife is a wine connoisseur.
Yeah?
So we were having a guest. We had to have mavushel.
Yeah.
So she said, but she doesn't. She wants to use what she has. I said, okay, so we'll boil it. It'll be mavushel.
Yeah.
She said, it's going to kill the taste.
Really?
So any wine in Manischewitz Concord is the same to me.
Right.
But she says it affects the taste.
Interesting. Very interesting. So we.
That's why you showed up.
So that's why you showed up tonight, Mamish. We have a guest.
Don't go. You can stay.
You can stay anytime. Now.
Well, if he brings a bottle of wine.
Yeah. We don't know who said what, right? We don't know which one was Rabbi Yochanan. Which one was it Bar Plukta? Rabbi Elazar. So we don't know who's saying what, right? So now the Gemara is Medayik. There was a stira, right? There was a stira earlier in the Masechta. It says you're not supposed to give truma from the ra al hayofa. You're not supposed to be tarim from the worst wine on the better wine. Always take the truma from the best wine. We call Kalev Lashem, right? So the shaila was, what about yain mavushal, right? So Rabbi Yehuda, I think, said that you could, right? I think it says it over here. One second. Here Rabbi Yehuda rules it's permitted to cook truma wine because the cooking improves the wine. But in the earlier Mishnah, he said that the cooked wine may not be designated as truma because cooked wine is less palatable than uncooked. Okay, so let's see. Let me just see the Mishnah one more time. One second. Let me just go back to our Mishnah. What does our Mishnah say? Yeah. So our Mishnah, again, our Mishnah says, Aim of Ashlin, going back to 98a3, it says, Aim of Ashlin, Yayel Shal Truma. It's the Tanakhama that says you're not allowed to cook wine because it's Menesha Mamato. But Rabbi Yehuda Matir, he's Matir to cook the wine because he holds on the contrary. Cooking the wine improves the taste. Right, so that's the stira. We had a stira. This Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah says that it improves the wine. And the Mishnah over there says that Rabbi Yehuda holds you cannot be mafresh from mavushal on ena mavushal because that's min haral hayofas. You see, he holds cooked wine is not good wine. That was the stira. So we had two approaches to how to mimiyash of the stira. One was Rabbi Yochanan's approach, which was to be machlefit, to go ahead and switch, you know, the time norm, so you have Rabbi Yehuda working out in both Mishnayos. So would he switch? I guess he would switch our Mishnah, right? It says over here. He reverses the Mishnah's attributions. Now Rabbi Yehuda now prohibits cooking truma wine, because it's detrimental, and Danakama will permit cooking wine. Okay, so it'll be our Mishnah that he switches. Okay, so instead of Rabbi Yehuda being Matir, it'll be the Tanakama being Matir, and Rabbi Yehuda will be the one that says it's Osir. Okay, that's the way Rabbi Yochanan got out of the problem. Now, Rabbi Lazar said, Omar Rabbi Lazar, he said what? He said, Eino Machlavis, no, don't start changing things. Tamon b'kohen, l'kan b'bailam. Over there, you're talking about a Kohen, while the Mishnah here is dealing with the Yisrael, the owner. Here, there, I think that the here, there is, let me just get this straight, I think it's the other way around. In our Mishnah, it says cooking wine improves it. It's a Kohen, right? So, again, when it says there, right? We're quoting what he said in the earlier parak. So, therefore, when he says there, he's referring to our Mishnah. So don't get mixed up about that. So, again, so he's saying over there, meaning our Mishnah, is talking about a Kohen. The Kohen's dealing with his own wine. He can do what he wants with it. So he can go ahead and he can boil it up. And it's not a problem, right? Let's just see what he says over here.
Because it'll last longer.
The cooking, Rabbi Yehuda.
Because he's consuming. The Kohen's allowed to consume.
We said that Rabbi Yehuda was matir. When we learned the Mishnah, we said Rabbi Yehuda's matir because it lasts longer once it's cooked. So that, for the Kohen to go ahead and cook it and have it last longer, that is allowed.
Even though he's mamayit.
Even though there's a slight miyut, because that miyut is insignificant, apparently. Right. But the earlier Mishnah, he's discussing the non-kosher, the non-Kohen owner. And he's the one that's obligated. He has to do the Maisa HaFrosha. So the one that's doing the Maisa HaFrosha has to do it in the best oif, right? So he has to do the best HaFrosha he can. So there, the beautiful holds, it has a status of Ra'al HaYofa. So it depends from whose perspective you're looking at it, right? From the Kohen's perspective, this is a good thing. From the Yisrael's perspective, it's not a good thing. That's basically what he said. So now, from this discussion, the Yerushalmi is trying to prove, we have two ants, we have two shitas, as to how, let's go back to the Machlokas again. So we have a Machlokas of Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar. Chad Omar, the nation of Ma'ato means because it reduces the volume. And one said it's because Ma'ato reduces the number of people that eat it.
Drink.
What?
The number of people that drink
it. That drink it, correct. So from this discussion, from this machlokas as to how to resolve the stira and the mishnayos, we can deduce which one of the two Amorim said which teres. Have you been able to figure it out yet?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan is the number of people.
Well, how did you figure that out?
I saw it.
Oh, you read it in advance. Okay, very good. So the Gemara says, Havei, we can establish. Rabbi Yochanan Hudama Mesha Matim Yishayzov. He's the one that holds it, reduces it from. How did he see that? So in 11, he says like this. In 11, he explains it. That what? Because by asking a stira between these two Mishnayos, you see he holds they're exactly analogous. Okay, and he doesn't get out of the stira. He has to switch the Tanoim around to resolve the steer, right? Both Rabbi Yehuda's prohibition for a Kohen to cook truma wine and the prohibition for Yisrael to mafresh cooked wine as truma on behalf of uncooked wine is based on an assumption of damage, right? They're both assuming damage. The Mishnah refers to the damage inherent of the cooking of the wine as he reduces it. That's the same thing as damage. If this refers to reduction in the wine's volume, it has no relevance to the earlier Mishnah. In other words, what do you mean it's going to reduce the number of people that can eat it? I'm a Yisrael, I'm being mafresh wine now. We haven't even created the truma yet. What do you mean I'm being mite? It's cooked already. The cooking happened already. We're not talking about
before
we're talking about I'm being mafresh. I'm the Yisrael. I'm coming to be mafresh the truma. and I have cooked wine, I have uncooked wine, which one can I be mafresh on the other? It's not an issue of being mamayit, the number of people that drink it. I'm about to be korei shem truma on, right? I'm sorry, it's not a question of being mamayit. The volume has already been reduced. It's already been cooked.
You would have that problem if you were, collecting your crops and you step on a couple of branches. Whatever you're doing, you can say, are you being mamayit truma? I didn't create
it. No, in the field, you don't have the problem. Yeah.
Okay,
you
so
because you even eat it. It's not.
Okay, so let's get to Teret straight here. So therefore Rabbi Yochanan is the one that holds us reducing the number of people that eat it. That's what it means. Okay? And so therefore it is shayach to say that at the time of the Hafrasha, right? Because you're about to be Kareh Shem Truma, you're the Yisrael. You're gonna about to be Kareh Shem Truma. If you're gonna use this wine that is cooked to be Kareh Shem Truma, there are less people that are gonna eat it. We don't want you to do that. So that's Rala Yofa.
So we even though wait till this, we're allowed to wait what? Till this yeah. process?
What's that?
We're allowed to wait till this process to separate Truma? We're allowed to wait this
long? Yeah, it's okay to wait.
As long as we don't use it.
Yeah, it's Tevel. Yeah, well, we've been speaking, very often we're talking about how it's in the vat. They squeeze it comes out. It ferments. I mean, usually, if we're talking about Tara, they would try to do it at the top. But yeah, okay. But in this case, this is the case. Yeah.
We're talking about Yisraelim now. We're not talking about.
Yeah. Tara. Right. Correct. Okay. At that point. Yeah. Okay. Got the answer. Yeah. So that's how we know. You like that? So Yehuda ben Kini, Reb Imi, B'shem Reb Shimon Lakish, Neishem Matami Shaisov. So he's. I guess this is like the psak, right? They had the discussion, and now there's a requote of the statement, and the purpose of the requote is to give a psak lahalach, right? So he gave a psak, and it reduces the number of people who could drink it. Is there enough gemina between these two reasons? I don't know. Is there enough gemina?
If you would have a type of wine that it actually improves its taste, it wouldn't satisfy the other one.
So if you're talking about Kedem, the Malaga, sweet, heavy, so it doesn't affect the taste. Yeah. So you'd be able to do it, but if it's because you're reducing the volume, then you're also reducing the volume, so that would be awesome. Okay, could be that's enough. Okay, let's go to the next mission. Tavash tomorrow, if you have, we're talking about here where you eat, you're a non-kohen, you're a czar, and you eat this date honey bishogeg, okay, or yain tapuchen, or you ate this apple cider. Or chametz tisvanios, a truma vinegar of winter grapes. Shalkamei pesha truma or other types of fruit juice. So the question is, what's the status of fruit juice? So Rav Elazar Mechayev Kam V'Chaimesh, he rules that fruit juice is just like the peiri itself. It's like if you ate truma b'shogeg, you have to pay karen v'chaimesh. So too, if you drank fruit juice, you have to pay karen v'chaimesh.
All of this, these things in the literature of Mishnah are extractions of fruit. Is that
yes. Yes. So now Rabbi Yeshua, now we're on Tanakh Testament base. So Rabbi Yeshua Paiter, Rabbi Yeshua disagrees. Okay? He holds that, now if you look at the Mara fold at the top, you'll see it says Rabbi Yeshua Paiter Michaimesh. He doesn't disagree that you have to pay for the fruit juice. Obviously, it's gazela. You're eating the Kohen's food. Obviously, you have to pay it back. Right? So that's not a Shaila. Of a Karen Chayev, Ulechakhila, Asur Lazarm, and even if Yeshua's masking Lechakhila, you're not allowed to do it. Okay, so you have a Machlaikas. What's the two names again? Rabbi Eliezer says fruit juice is just like the fruit, and therefore you Chayev Karen Machaimish. And if Yeshua holds, no, you're Potter from the Chaimish. Rabbi Eliezer Matami Mashamashka, so this is going to obviously have other impacts as to whether it's considered fruit or not. So, in the Shaila is whether it is metame. If the fluids were exposed to tumas, he holds the tame as a type of beverage. Right? Let's see. The scriptural classification of mashka includes fruit juices too. In his view, all liquids, including fruit juices, can become tame and can convey tumah and can render food susceptible to Tumah. So, I mean, this last one is that it could be machsher it, which is very interesting because, you know, I mean, I don't know. That I didn't think about that part too much, about whether the mashka could... In other words, we always said that, you know, what is it, yayin and shemen, cholov, what's it called?
Yad
shachadam, the simen, right? That all those things are machsher, those seven fluids, but fruit juices, you know, like that, those could also be machsher. We never saw, I never remember anybody saying, as there was a Tana that held that it could be machsher. I never saw that before. But he has that in the list. I always thought, when I first read this mission, I thought we were only talking about whether it has a shame, mashka for, in other words, Abe, are you listening here, Abe? I'm getting a little confused here, because if he holds that it's a, that it has a halakha like a peri, so the pshat is that it would be a bet, it would not be a drink, but it would be an oichel. Isn't that the pshat?
Yeah.
In other words, you know, let's take wine. Wine, everybody agrees wine is one of the seven mashkin. So let's take wine, for example. So how do you look at wine? What's the status of wine? Is it a mashka? Is it an oichel? Is it like a pre? I mean, if you drank yayin, b'shogeg, that's truma, kuli alma is maida, you're chayiv keren b'chaymish. That's, there's no shayla. It's only the other fluids that are shayla, right? So, as far as tuma is concerned, I'm just like trying to understand. Yeah.
Is tapuchim. Because yayin is in the list and dvash tamara is in the list. I assume the dvash of yad shatam is dvash tamara. Not positive.
Uh-huh. So you're saying that those are already not issues. It's only the apple cider.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't point that out, but I mean...
Okay. Okay. Right. Okay. So, Abikitzer, he holds this matamim shemashkin. Rabbi Yeshua says what? Loimur chachamim shemashkin k'mayni patamim. That if the chachamim mentioned seven, it wasn't just like, you know, they didn't just pick out seven and just randomly mention them without being careful about, well, these are, here are seven, like someone who's selling spices. Ela amru shemashkin t'mayim u'shon kol mashkin t'harim. Everything else is tar. And they're not subject to tumah.
Because they're not called mashkin.
Right. But I'm trying to understand, because the reisha and the seifa of this mishnah are really two different things completely, right? The shaila of whether if someone eats something b'shogeg, whether he's high of keren b'chaymesh, depends on whether it has a shame pri, right? So, if you eat wheat, eat barley, b'shogeg, you're certainly chayav keren b'chaymesh. If you eat wine, you drink oil, for sure you're chayav b'shogeg. But if you drink apple cider, so what's the shaila? Right? So, I mean, if you ate the apple, let's go back to the original fruit. If you ate the apple, so let's say, I don't know, maybe it's a machlokes, we're showing whether apple is a chayav truma d'oraisa or not, maybe it's only chayav d'rabbanan, that's a shaila, but once you squeeze out the apple and it's moitzi the mashka, so are we saying Reb Lazer is going to hold it? That has a shame of peri. That's like it's an apple.
No, that's what number four.
Yeah, I know that. It seems very strange, yeah. You know?
Also for the bracha. Obviously, the bracha
is Yeah. That's right. In footnote one, in the brackets, second paragraph, he brings from the Bavli that there's a parallel between the view of Rabbi Yeshua here and Marbar Ravashi, who say that the blessing on date honey is shahakol, right? And not ha'etz, because date honey is not the equivalent of the fruit itself. It's zeya, it's just sweat. That's what we assure sheet. So it's just sweat. So sweat you make a shahakol on. Masha'en kain Rav Lazar, I guess, would hold you make a bright ha'etz, I guess. Right?
It's very interesting to me. I just noticed, Shloimeh, that
yeah.
In the Mishnah, the tapuchim product
that just means it's fermented. Yeah. No. Okay.
No, it's cider. No, the point is the yayin of Yad Shach Bash, according to Reb Eliezer, includes
all types of yainos, perhaps.
Yain means yain has a more, according to Reb Eliezer,
a more generic definition of something which has become some
product of the yayin is the product of grapes, it's the product of tapuchim.
Could be. That's a nice svar. Dov doesn't like it. He's shaking his head. Dov is not giving his askama. You better duke it out with him later.
I don't know if I like it either.
Okay. Very good. The Vayikra in the Mishnah. We're done with the Mishnah. So let's go on the Gemara. Have a Bayin Lameimar. So the scholars thought they would say like this. Ma Pligin. What is Rabbi Elazar and Rishua arguing about B'chaymesh regarding the Chaymesh? Avol B'karen, if you're Rishua, like we said, Rishua is going to be masking. You have to pay for it because that's the property of the Kohen. You go when you ate it, right? Of course, we're talking about, therefore, when you've already given it to the Kohen. If you ate it in your own Rishos, that might be a different shaila.
That's
right?
Between you and God.
Yeah. Ma plegan. So what do they agree? What do they disagree? L'sha'avar. Meaning it took place already. You ate it. Now you have to decide what to do next. Chobot chilo. But if you're coming to ask the Rav, Rabbi, can I drink this? Then Afra B'shul Meidah, he's also going to agree you're not allowed to. Okay? Yeah. Let's speak out the drush over here, but I'm going to run out of time. So the Gemara says, Utninon, but we learned in a Brisa, and now we're going to challenge the statement. This is a question. Utninon, but we learned in a Brisa, Tavash Tamarim, Rabbi Elazar Machayev and Maestras, Rabbi Yeshua Poter. Here it says, Rabbi Elazar Machayev and Maestras, and Rabbi Yeshua Poters and Maestras completely. Meaning, Rabbi Yeshua holds they're completely mufka from Maestras, even so that you could eat it even l'chachilo. So why are you saying the Chacham were saying that Rabbi Yeshua b'maskim l'chachilo you can't eat it? Here it says he patters it from Maestras completely. That's the question.
And therefore you should not have to pay the coin.
You should you shouldn't even have to pay the coin. The Karen?
Yeah.
Hold on 1 second. Yes, you're correct. That's also added to the question. In other words, it's a double-barreled question. Number one, do you have to pay for it if you ate it? If you ate it, and number two, are you allowed to eat it lechachila? Yeah, you're right. Is that both the same question? Yeah. So my answer is kind of shizovu mishanit below. One is where it leaked out from the juices came out before. This is after mishanit below, after they became pevel, right? And Khan Shazavu Achila Nitbalu. So when did he say that Lakhilo it's Osir to eat it? That's talking about where it came out after it became Tevel. And if it's before it became Tevel, then it's Bakal not Shayak to Maestras at all. So let's go a little further. Tani Ramnasan Oimer Loshra Bliazar Mechayev Maestras. It's not that he holds Yechayev in Maestras. That honey is not Chayev in Maestras. That's not his shita. El Rabbi Elazar Omer Shelo Yechol Min Hadvash Ad She'asar Al HaTamar. He holds that there's a din rabbanon, I guess, that there, when you have some dates and you have some honey that came out of the dates, that you should not eat the honey until you've taken Maestras from the dates. Once you've taken Maestras from the dates, then you can eat the honey. So it's like a din that they go together. They like, I guess, you know, like it came from those dates, so therefore we're going to hold off being matur you to eat it until then. That seems to be the idea here, right? According to Rav Nosson, Rav Lezer does not actually hold that there's an obligation to tithe honey or any of the fruit juice. Rather, he holds until you do the dates, you're forbidden to consume the honey. He says the reason is because of Marasayan. It's a Marasayan issue. Okay? Next. That's Reb Nosson. Then he expounds upon it. It says over here, Maidra of Leazar Shem Yisrael HaTamarim Afilu Be'aspamya Divshon Mutar. That if we took Maestras on the dates, then even if the honey is located in Spain, let's say, we're far away, that the dvash is mutter. What's the point of saying that the dvash is far away? It's not minamukov, something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% sure what's the afilu. You know, pshat tov.
It says mukov.
Because it's not minamukov, right? Because normally you have to have everything together. So this doesn't have to be together because it has no shaychas. It's a marasayin issue. No say amra shuma aser min hatamar mal dvash lefi tamarim. That what you do is, according to this opinion, is you're separating the maisris from the dates on behalf of the honey according to the measure of the dates. Meaning that when you figure out the 10%, just figure out 10% of the date. You don't have to figure out the honey part, because the honey part is not really a part of the cheshbon.
I thought it is.
It's not part of the cheshbon.
No?
No, it's really mutter. Again, let's take a look. Take a look.
The volume of the honey is not included?
No. We're not going like Rabbi Shua. We're going like Rabbi Lazar. But even Rabbi Lazar, right? Yeah. That's what 13 says, right? According to Rav Nosson, Rabbi Lazar does not actually hold that there is an obligation to tithe date honey. It's just a din of Marasayan. Okay?
One more line.
One more line. Mosei Amra, we're on 100A, Daf Kuf. Mosei Amra, the ruling of Tanakhama says to us, Shuhum Asaran Atmarim Al Hadvash, that you do have to take Maisar on behalf of the honey. Okay? Lefi Dvash, Lefi Tamarim, you have to take everything into Cheshvan, both the date fruit and the honey itself.
Even according to Rabbi
Elazar. Even according to Rabbi
Elazar.
Right. Right. According to Tanakhama the Brisa, he holds date honey is truly subject to tithes. Accordingly, you have to tithe the dates according to both. Okay? That's where we'll stop.
What's more tov, the dates or the date honey?
What's tov?
What's more?
I don't think it's a question of tov. I think it's more a question of what's really chayev. Yeah, according to what we're saying
but
here.
What would people pay more for?
No, I don't think that's the. I don't think that's.
To when the honey is more chashiv than
happy. If the honey is not really chayiv, it's minat potter al achiyuv. You can only take minat chiyuv al achiyuv. So
right, but it's a chiyuv though. So that's the dates for the honey. Then are you?
So you mean according to the Tanakhama's version of Blaza, that you have to take both? Which would be the better one to take? I don't know.
Which one is the one that was listed for? Me?
Yeah. Okay, everybody, sorry. Hold one second, please. Hold one second. I don't know what happened over here.